This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I've got to say, you've been acting kind of weird today. Is everything okay?
What do you mean? Well, I'm perfectly normal.
You're singing songs, you're petting Ozzy a lot.
No, I am Patrick Winninger. I'm a normal human.
A normal human.
Yes.
Something that normal humans often say.
That's what they say all the time. I mean we.
Oh, what? Wait a minute. Are you a doppelganger?
What? Of course not. No.
Okay. I believe you.
Oh.
I trust you. My trust goes deep with you, Patrick Winninger.
Oh, thank God.
Wait.
Huh?
What?
No, thank you, Patrick O'Rourke. Guys, we're talking about Allegiance.
Yeah.
It's a show with a lot of confused identities and doppelgangers and a lot of
sitting
other stuff.
Around, characters wondering what's happening.
Right, yes.
A lot of standing around
in this one.
I think that brings me to the fun fact
Okay. Very
quickly.
Yeah.
This episode was intentionally made to balance the budget after yesterday's Enterprise.
Oh, that's why it's so cheap.
Yeah, that's why that's so little happens.
Yeah.
There's no space battles. There's no elaborate sets. It's all just two rooms, basically. Well, the Enterprise, and then one room.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had all those explosions and stuff that they had to make up for, so mm-hmm. That's why pretty much nothing happens in this one.
Yeah. So The Offspring, an episode we watched two ago, was
right.
Also made to balance the budget. So these were both written.
That was a good one, though.
But that was a good use of that.
Yeah.
Where's this? Well, we'll get into
this. Into it. So this came out March 26, 1990. For Patrick's log, I found a kind of weird headline. I picked it out because it's a review of a new show called America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yeah, Bob Saget.
I don't know how new it was by this point, but it's like a review of Bob Saget, and they're like, the headline is, Saget draws strength from lively audience. Bob Saget's style as host of ABC's America's Funniest Home Videos is glib spontaneity. He comes across as a nice guy who thinks fast and funny. If he's lucky. More than likely, the truth is, he operates from a well-rehearsed script with all the ad-libs carefully penciled in. And it's all about how, like, Bob Saget is a corny, witty guy, but he's just, like, America's dad.
Yeah, and, well, that's the image of the time, right?
Yeah, and I think that's funny because, like, he tried to completely do away with that image,
mm-hmm.
like, in the, like, late 2000s.
Yeah.
Like around 2008, he had all these comedy specials where he was like super gross.
Yeah, he's very dirty.
Yeah, because he was trying to do away with like the host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, I remember loving that show as a kid.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, and thought he was very funny. I know my dad and mom often rolled their eyes though, so
yeah.
I imagine it was super corny.
Well, the funny thing to me now is that America's Funniest Home Videos was this huge thing in the early 90s, and now with, like, viral videos on YouTube and stuff like that, it's like, that genre is coming back.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
We just only had television to watch, like, home, like crazy home videos.
Exactly,
on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like no one is mailing in, you know, their VHS tapes now to Bob Saget. It's just they're putting it on YouTube.
Hoping to make $10,000
in
ads.
I'm sure that there's, like, an America's Funniest Home Videos YouTube channel now that probably has, like, millions of subscribers. I don't know about.
Yeah.
But it's really weird how that genre came back in a big way.
Oh, totally.
We just never really recognize it as like, yeah, that's America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, it's just on YouTube.
It's just on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, should we get into the episode?
Yeah, so this was Allegiance, as we said. It's kind of a weird episode.
I wouldn't say weird. I would say slow.
Yeah. Well, the premise is kind of an odd one. It starts
off...
Okay,
I agree with that.
Almost immediately, the thing that the episode is about immediately happens, which normally doesn't happen in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Picard is, you know, swirling a brandy snifter around, reading a
book.
Lots
of brandy in this episode.
Yeah. And he falls asleep, and then some kind of... you know, I know we've made jokes about the Trapper Keeper universe coming, but that's what happens.
Well, this was just one page, one side of a Trapper Keeper folder.
Yeah, it comes down and makes him disappear.
Yeah.
And he's in this weird room. He's sleeping on this little black bed, and he's walking around. He tries to use his transporter and communicator thing, and it doesn't work. On the bridge, they, like, Riker and Data, like, they find this weird energy signature thing.
Yeah.
And they can't,
right in the captain's quarters.
Yeah, and it's in the captain's quarters, and they can't reach him. So Worf sends a security detail. They knock on the door, like, "Captain, how are you? Are you okay?" And Picard answers. And he says, "Yeah.
What's the deal?
Everything's fine. What's
I'm
up?
I'm reading my book, drinking my brandy.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening here."
So that's odd. So back in the holding cell, that's like the intro. You know,
yeah.
We have the opening credits, and then we go back to the cell, because that apparently is what it is.
Well, spoiler alert,
well,
Patrick.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
And we figure that out in about 13 seconds.
Right, yeah. So Captain Picard is walking around, and there's other people there, two other people. There is a woman who is, we are told, later is a Bolian. She's blue. She has this kind of like thing down the middle of her face. Her name is Metena Haro. And there's another guy who has, like, this Sonic the Hedgehog-looking hood, and he's blue and he's wrinkly. He is a Mizarian, and his name is Kova Thull. So these are the two other people that are with him. Metena is a Starfleet cadet. Mm-hmm. You know, she is has some knowledge of Captain Picard, kind of knows who he is.
Has studied him in class.
Right.
Names a few battles that she studied, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Picard maneuver. She must be familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you warp for a very short distance.
And then trick them as to which one is the correct Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy is like some meditating dude. He's like a very peaceful, from a very peaceful planet.
Yeah.
And we'll find more about that later. Back on the bridge of the Enterprise, there's this other Captain Picard.
Yeah.
Walking around.
With a smirk on his face.
Yeah, and the weird thing is he knows who everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows how to get around. Apparently, I assume, has all the same memories. He kind of comes across as, like, one of those people who is trying too hard to appear friendly.
Yes.
Which is not how Captain Picard acts.
No.
And so it's like, right off the bat, everyone kind of feels a little odd.
Yeah, a little awkward around.
But of course
him.
You're not going to assume, oh, well, obviously he was kidnapped and replaced, you know.
So, I'm going to say this fact that I read after the episode, which makes it make a lot more sense how Picard is behaving, cuz to me I found it very confusing while watching. But understanding the writer's intention, I think it makes it a better episode. So, this replica has all of Picard's memories, but it doesn't know what Picard really did or how he really behaved, but it knows how Picard would want to behave in certain situations. So it's like Picard's ideal self. If Picard lived without duty or worrying about like his status or those types of things, this is the Picard we would all see.
Yeah.
It's a more fun Picard, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the first thing he does, they're about to go on this routine mission with the USS Hood to like terraform a planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their way to do it. And they take some scan, and they find this pulsar that's doing stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, let's go to that pulsar. That seems cool. How long would that take us? And Wesley is at the helm. He's like, wow, like half an hour? He's like, okay, yeah, let's just go. Let's check it out. And they're like, okay. I'm going to tell the USS Hood about that. He's like, nah, don't bother. We're just not going to tell him. And everyone's like, well, I mean, you're the captain.
That seems weird.
But that seems really weird.
Yeah.
So already he's doing odd stuff.
Yeah. And he also makes them go at warp 2.
Yeah.
As opposed to a faster speed. So instead of it taking 30 minutes, it's going to take 32 hours.
Yeah.
Which is super weird.
Yeah.
Why take the long way? You could take the short way.
Right.
You could bend space-time and get there in 30 minutes.
He's just being very strange and mm-hmm. delivering strange orders.
Yes.
Back in the cell, we're learning more about the other inhabitants and Thol, who's the guy with the wrinkly face.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, and the spiky hood.
Mm-hmm. Chris Geiger would love that hood.
Yes.
We need to get it for him for Christmas.
Yeah. Picard is finding out that, oh, he's from this homeworld that's been invaded a whole lot. And he's asking him, like, trying to quiz him, like, do you have any enemies? Like, anyone that would want to capture you? And he's like, no, my race has no enemies. He's like, how could you have no enemies? Your homeworld's been invaded 6 times. He said, yeah, but every time we just acquiesced whatever the powers that be want us to do. We're totally subservient.
Mm-hmm.
No one would want to do this. I have no natural predators. Like, and Picard's like, okay, fine, whatever. Jesus. And then right as they're... he wants to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And Thol, this other dude, says no. He's like, there's that panel. I wouldn't mess with it. And of course, Picard goes to mess with it. And he's like trying to tap out like some kind of Morse code thing.
He's tapping binary code or something.
Yeah.
So the captors would understand if he knows that he knows math.
Right. And
which Thol, I thought, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I don't understand math.
So Thol is just like, well, you know, that last time I messed with the door, you know, it made me feel very unpleasant. Like it shoots like this pain thing out. So don't do that. And Picard's like, you got to try to escape.
Yeah.
And this other dude's like, I won't help you.
This guy's a coward.
This guy sucks.
Yeah.
And after they're doing that, this other guy, like a space orc dude, shows up.
He looks terrible.
So this actually won an Emmy
really?
For makeup.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Did not age well.
The prosthesis looks pretty terrible.
Yeah. You can see his other teeth behind his fake teeth,
yep.
too. If those were supposed to be teeth.
He's got big tusks. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you might have two rows of teeth.
Yeah, like a shark.
Like a shark,
one
yeah.
of those moray eels.
Yeah, so you got the big thick ones that would effectively do nothing. I don't know how those would work.
Yeah.
And then functional teeth behind
I don't know how that guy fits any food in his mouth.
No, it's like we saw species like this before where there was the line in the way of their mouth.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's like, what evolutionary benefit could that possibly
right.
have?
I guess to be terrifying because he just shows up
and is
immediately, you know, grimacing and yelling, and he pulls out a knife and
yeah, like a Bowie knife,
right? And they gotta calm him down. So Picard is like, "Hey, dude, look, we're prisoners, just like you. We were not the ones that captured you. We're just trying to get back to our own worlds." Mm-hmm. They kind of calm him down by explaining, or Picard calms him down by explaining that he visited his homeworld at one time. He's like, "Oh, so you know about me? This guy's name is Esok. He is a Chalnoth.
I've never seen one before.
I
don't know." Maybe we have. I don't remember.
I don't think
them,
we have because Picard mentions that it was when he was captain of the Stargazer.
Yes. Okay,
so
cool.
The ship from the battle.
Yeah. They seem like lame Klingons almost.
Right, yeah.
They're very, like, attitude-wise similar to a Klingon, but they didn't want to put a Klingon in there with them.
I don't understand. Why not.
Yeah, just make it a Klingon.
Yeah. Oh, well. We're back on the ship, and people are playing poker. You know, they're doing their poker thing.
Yeah, having their rec time.
Yeah. And Picard walks in.
What?
And he's asking Geordi all these questions about the engine efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And Geordi's like, it's like 93%. He's like, let's bring it up to 95. He says, okay, I'll get right to it. He's like, no, I don't want to interrupt your game. This is your rec time. He's like, no, I'll go do it immediately. And even though he was just drinking some whiskey, he goes to fly the ship.
Synthahol, man. You can just shake it off.
You can just snap out of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So then Picard takes Troi outside. And Picard asks her, how does the crew feel about all these orders I've been giving them? She's like, well, I mean, it's weird, but they trust you. He's like, how far does that trust go, do you think? She's like, what the hell?
Yeah, super weird.
It's an odd question. She's like,
I can't believe she didn't pick anything up in this scene either.
Well, you can tell she's suspicious, but
yeah,
like, why would you suspect the captain had been replaced by a doppelganger?
I don't know, because
that's
it's Star Trek.
Yeah, because that's the kind of stuff that happens in the Enterprise all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you just put you in her position, that's not the first conclusion you'd leap to.
No, I agree.
He's just acting weird.
Yeah. Maybe he has food poisoning or something.
Yeah. So, in the holding cell, there's this little thing in the middle, And it looks like, you know, in those huge corporate bathrooms where they have that that sink, the prison sink in the middle.
Right.
It looks like that.
Yep.
But it dispenses these little jelly tablets. They look like soap, but
they're like Jell-O pucks that you can eat.
Right. And Thal had said, I wouldn't call them food,
mm-mm,
but they're like nutrition things. Esok can't eat them.
No. He licks it.
He licks it. He's like, I can't eat it. He's not able to. It's like probably poison to him, whatever's in there. And they're like, well, what are you going to eat? And he looks over at Thal, and he's like, I can eat this guy. And they're like, let's not do that. And Picard asks him, how long can you go without food? He says, 3 days, maybe four. No longer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a little predicament there. Back on the Enterprise, Picard's getting his physical.
Fake Picard. We should.
Yeah, yeah. Fake Picard.
Yeah.
So
Doppelcard.
Doppelcard is getting his physical. And we learn from this that he requested it early. He normally doesn't do that.
Mm-mm. She normally has to bug him.
Right. And he's perfectly healthy. And she's like, Picard, is there anything you need to tell me? Like, you're acting weird. You normally don't do this. And he's like, yeah, come have dinner with me. And she's like, oh, yeah, intent forward. Yeah, sure, whatever. He says, no, in my quarters. And she's like, wow, you were just full of surprises today. And he's like, I'll take that as a yes, and walks away.
I kind of feel bad for Crusher in this episode.
I do, too.
Because she's, you know.
She's interested.
Yeah. Why wouldn't she be? They're interested in each other. It just
Their circumstances make it so they can't pursue that,
mm-hmm,
which I get.
Mm-hmm.
But there's Doppelcard just doing whatever the hell he wants.
Well, doing what Picard wants to do. See, this makes the episode better to me. I didn't pick that up while watching it.
I didn't either.
Because it was just like, well, Picard's being a weirdo.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so we're back in...
It's like his id without his ego.
Yeah, yeah. He just has no inhibitions because he's someone else living in his body. Back in the holding cell, they're trying to figure out how to open the door. And again, Thal is not helping. But Esok is like, hey, I could break this. They're like, okay, do that. And Haro is able to mess with the circuits because she had mentioned that she's like a pretty good engineer.
Yeah. I mean, she's a cadet, but that's what she's studying. She knows how to knock it out.
There's not really a reason why she should be there is what she said. She was like, I'm nobody special, but I do impulse control. Like, I do like warp coils or whatever. I forget what it was. There's some part of the engine she's really good at.
Yeah.
So she's able to hack through the door and she gets it open very briefly for like an inch or two. And then it slams shut and they get shot with this green ray.
Yeah.
And Thal is like, I told you that it happened.
And they're all like,
yeah, I know, like while they're writhing in pain. It's like, God, I want this guy to get at basically at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Just Esok, just gobble this guy up.
Let's call it a day.
Yeah, I know. I know he's probably not the guy behind all this, but he's just really annoying.
So something you've breezed over, and I understand why you breezed over it, is we have spent, to this point, like 20 minutes of them all talking about why they may or may not be there.
Yeah, it's really...
It's really boring.
Yeah, because it's Picard talking to the audience about who Picard is.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got nothing to do... Like, nothing gets figured out.
Right.
And they're just like, maybe it's because you're this, or maybe it's because... And they're just trying to put the pieces together, and it's very dull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so the next scene is a little less dull, just because it's odd.
Mm.
This is the dinner that Picard and Crusher have.
Probably the least dull scene of the
episode. Right, well,
because
it's a lot of stuff that people have... Because there's a lot of will-they-won't-they stuff in Star Trek.
Yeah, especially season one.
With Troy and Riker, and with Picard and Crusher, because we know that there's a previous relationship of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
now,
husband's best friend.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing it getting explored a little more, but this is Doppelcard. This isn't actually Picard. So none of this will have any impact in any way.
Yeah.
It's just a one-off scene, basically. And they're having this romantic dinner, and they're talking about how their duty, their jobs, and a lot of other stuff has kind of gotten in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Picard is saying. Crusher is saying that, like, it's understandable that it got in the way.
Yeah, it has to.
Right. And she says, you know, at this point, honestly, I'm fine with our relationship of how it is, even though they both admit that they are attracted to each other.
They're both highly physically attracted.
Right, is what they both say. So then Picard gets up and invites her to dance, which...
She's like, I didn't think you danced.
And he says, I do on special occasions.
Which is dinner.
Or getting replaced by some kind of alien thing.
Well, it just proves Picard wants to dance more in his life.
Yeah. And they dance for a little bit, and then they kiss. And then Crusher says that if this were any other occasion or something, like, or someone else, she would feel that she's being played.
Mm-hmm.
And Picard's like, no. All right, good night.
Yeah.
Get the hell out.
And just gives her the boot.
Yeah, and Crusher's just like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. She's outside the door, like, shrugging.
Right.
Yeah.
Back in the prison cell, everyone is kind of turning on each other at this point.
They're all blaming each other.
Right. And Esok accuses Thal of being a collaborator, which I guess is kind of true.
Yeah, well, he didn't help with the door.
Yeah, and Thal admitted that his race just goes along with whoever invades them and takes them over, mm-hmm. and they don't resist at all, mm-hmm. ever. So Esok is like, yeah, that means you're helping them. And maybe you're observing us. Maybe you're here to help whoever captured us. And he's like, well, maybe Haro is some kind of plant, you know? Maybe Picard is, huh? You ever think about that? And Haro starts to vouch for Picard by listing all these things that he's been involved in. And Picard is like, yeah, and also to eradicate this plague on Mintaka 3. And she's like, yeah, that too.
This is important later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is super boring right now. I'm sorry to have to recount all this stuff, but this comes up later, so I got to
say it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they kind of defuse all the conflicts or whatever, and they're like, look,
again, this is a long scene.
This is a very long scene. I'm trying to breeze through it as fast as I can because it was just kind
of
boring.
But again, it's a lot of, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like, neither do we. Well, Nobody here knows, or do we care at this point?
They come to the conclusion that they should have come to, which is, we got to work together to get out of this.
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
Right. Duh, we're prisoners.
Yeah, and Picard points out several times in this episode, and I think this is a valuable lesson, that they are trying to divide us. We need to unite to overcome it. But they just do this over and over.
Yeah.
And the end result of the episode, which I'm not going to get to right now, totally contradicts that lesson.
Oh, it's stupid. I mean,
yeah.
It's great. No, this is not the best Star Trek episode, if you can't tell by how fast we're going through it.
Back on the ship, Riker and Troy, they're hanging out in 10 Forward. They're having some synthahol, and they're talking about, look, man, isn't all this stuff on the ship? It's pretty weird, right? Like, he's making us go to this pulsar, saying we shouldn't contact the USS Hood.
We're going super slow.
Going really slow? It's just like, what are we doing? And then Picard walks in, and he's just kind of jauntily,
smiling.
He's swaggering. He goes up to Geordi, and he's like, oh, great job on increasing the warp efficiency to 96%, you know, even though they're not using it.
Right.
And then he's like buying everybody ale and drinks and stuff, and he starts singing this song called Heart of Oak, which I had to look up.
Mm-hmm.
It's this old British Navy anthem
from
like the 1700s.
It's a drinking song.
All right. How does everyone know the words to this?
Because they sing it in the academy is what he
they
says
do?
Before he starts.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
Yeah. Well,
God, these people are such nerds.
Well, plus it's from the 1700s.
Well, like, no one in the U.S. Navy. Like, your dad was in the Navy, right?
Yeah.
Does he know this song?
I would doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had some songs that we should not sing.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure
my grandpa was in the Navy, too.
Yeah, like, there's some highly inappropriate stuff. But it wasn't like a 1700s drinking song.
What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, he's going through this 1700s British Navy drinking song, and everyone's singing along, and Riker's just like, what the hell is this?
Right. And I've never seen Picard drink before. Well, I guess brandy or something,
right,
but not like a tall beer like that.
Yeah, it's ale. It's like, he's acting like some kind of British gentleman, basically.
That's what he wants to
do.
Which
makes sense. This is what he's into. He's into Shakespeare. He's into riding horses and stuff.
Mysteries.
Yeah.
He wants to solve the mystery of the pulsar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So now everyone has kind of got together in somebody's quarters. I don't know who. And they're all meeting together and like, okay, what's going on here? Is this Picard? Has he been compromised? They don't really think he's like a doppelganger. They just think he might be sick in some way.
Right.
And so everyone is going through all their lists. Troy is like, yeah, he came to me and asked me all this stuff about trust. I thought it was really odd. Riker's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I've never seen him act like this. And everyone's kind of looking around. Beverly Crusher is there, and they're just like, oh, Beverly, do you have anything to tell the class?
she was very polite about it.
Right.
And they had a weird dinner, is all she
says. Is pretty much all she says, but I think they kind of glean the rest of it from that.
Yeah.
And then Riker concludes the meeting by saying, well, the next move is his. Basically leaving it up in the air. It's like, well, if this continues, we got a mutiny.
Yeah.
Which is high stakes.
Yeah. But Riker's job.
If the captain is incapacitated in some way, Riker has to take over. So it's not technically mutiny, but it's, you know, it's in the rules that he's got to do it.
Yeah.
So the Enterprise finally gets this this pulsar, and Picard is like asking people to basically drive the ship into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he's pushing their trust.
Yeah, he's seen how far it'll go,
mm-hmm.
and he's taking it to a point where it could kill everybody. They get to a point, and I forget who mentions, the shields will only last 18 minutes this close to the star.
I think it's Data.
Okay. And Riker's like, hey, Captain, can I talk to you in private? Just some stuff to go over. So they go in the ready room, and Riker's like, okay, I don't like these orders. I'm going to be honest with you.
They seem crazy.
It seems a little weird. And Picard's like, oh, you know, you're under a lot of stress. Maybe you're acting weird. I'm going to ask you to go to the doctor. He, like, basically accuses him of being crazy.
Yeah. Well, he's like, I'm not the crazy one. You're the crazy
right.
one.
Right. And Riker is like, okay, I can't really, I don't have any proof, really, so I can't mutiny yet. Mm-hmm. He's got to put it on hold, but, like, how long can you put this on hold? You only got 18 minutes.
Right.
So he's got to find some kind of proof that Picard has been compromised in some way in order to take over. Back in the prison cell, the prisoners are trying to, like, open up the door again and disable the pain thing. They do that, and then there's another door behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't get out. Now Picard, Doppelcard,
mm-hmm.
on the Enterprise, is trying to move the ship even closer to the dang star.
Right.
Like, he's just going to kill everybody.
He just wants to see how far they're going to follow his orders, as he said to Deanna Troi earlier.
Right. So now Riker's like, okay, I'm mutinying.
Yeah,
like,
this is so dumb.
You're going to kill everybody. This isn't like you at all. You have no, like, you don't care about the ship. You don't care about the people on it. I'm relieving you of command. Worf, get this guy. And Worf is like, nope.
Yep.
Not going to do it.
Well, Picard was like, Worf, grab Riker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Picard commands Worf to remove Riker, and Worf doesn't do it. So Riker now controls the ship.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, Wesley, get us away from the pulsar. Wesley's like, yes, okay. Thank God. Finally.
This was so dumb.
Yeah. Why were we here? Back on the prison cell, everyone is just really confused, and they're mad, and they're upset because, you know, they thought that they broke free, and they just found another door. But now, Picard, he kind of figured it out.
Cracks the case.
He loves mysteries, remember?
He does.
So he says, look, this was just an experiment. We're basically rats in a maze here, and I think I know why. And he's like, Thal, your planet, you collaborate with authority. You always just submit to whoever's in charge because you don't like conflict. And Esok, you're an anarchist. His planet, as they mentioned earlier in the episode, there's no government, no mm-hmm. laws, and everyone just kills. It's just rule of the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're like. And Haro, you're a cadet. You are sworn to follow all authority. And I am a captain in Starfleet, so I am the authority. And we're all given these tasks to see how we can work together to be able to overcome it. And every time we do it, there's some wrench thrown in the plans. Esok shows up. He can't eat the food. He gets turned into a threat. So then we work against him, and we can't get out. You know, the pain beams, the other door. Something is always happening to make us stop working together. But then, this is where the whole moral of the story gets blown up to me. Then Picard is like, and Haro, you're an imposter.
Yeah.
It's just like, it was all about working together and, like, acknowledging a common enemy and putting your differences aside. And then he's like, also, one of us is an imposter.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't know.
So the thing that Picard mentioned about the plague, Haro wasn't supposed to know that.
Yeah, it's it was classified.
Yeah, it was classified, and they weren't supposed to know about this. So he's like, obviously you're an imposter. And she's like, no, no, okay, you got me. Yeah. And she splits up in these three Jay Leno-looking aliens. And they're all like, yeah, we're just trying to experiment on how you test authority. And they mention a few things. Yeah, you all have doppelgangers on your home planet or ship or wherever we got you from. But they all have your memories. They all have your personalities as far as we can judge that, and we're gonna put you back. It's fine. And
so dumb.
Yeah, and they also mentioned that there are three separate entities here, but everyone in this race is kind of the same.
Yeah, telepathically.
They have a telepathic link that they say is better than your primitive vocal cords. And
Picard does not like this
No, he hates it. So they touch them, everyone in the all the prisoners, and they transport. So Picard shows up on the bridge with these two dudes. Just these two alien dudes.
It's like, this is like earlier seasons where they're like, we got to get out of here and wrap this episode
up. Yeah, we got to, oh, TikTok.
TikTok, yeah. Budgets, the budget's clicking by.
Yeah. And yeah, he shows up and there's this other Picard clone. And everyone, Worf is about to shoot somebody, and real Picard says, stand down. And they explain, well, there's this clone here. He's been pushing people to the point of near death to see how far the crew would go. Because, as these aliens say, we have no authority. We're all the same being, so we don't really have any hierarchy. And we're just experimenting to see what that's like. You know, just how people respond to commands, why they respond to commands, and now you're back. Everything is fine. We're going to get rid of this clone. It's okay.
Yeah, and chill out.
Yeah, as they're talking, as they're listing why they did this, everyone on the Enterprise bridge is giving these really subtle like cues, and they're, you know, tapping stuff on a panel here and doing that. And then finally, Worf hits this button, and this force field comes down on the two aliens. And they're like, oh, no.
This is the funniest scene.
This is so bad.
Because they're like, ow!
They're freaking out. And Picard's just sitting down in his chair. And he's like, yeah, we captured you. You're our prisoners now. And they're like, please, our race cannot handle imprisonment. And he's like,
what race can?
Yeah.
Assholes.
He's like, oh. This sucks. He's like, yeah, that's what you've been doing to people.
Oh my God, we're jerks.
He's like, but no, we returned you. We didn't harm anybody physically. He's like, imprisoning people is harm. Stop doing that.
It's like, duh.
Why? Why are you doing that? It's like, we're just studying. And they're like, yeah, well, now you know what it feels like. Maybe you won't do it. Now get off my ship.
So stupid.
And he releases them from the force field and they just kind of disappear. And then Picard's clone is gone. Everything is back to normal. And Picard's like, oh, man. So, Riker, thanks for taking charge, dude. That's really good. How did you know it wasn't me? And Riker's like, we had a few clues. I don't think you can sing that well. And Picard's like, well, I look forward to reading the report. Or should I? I don't think I will. And then Dr. Crusher comes in. And she looks at him really weird.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what
I'm not sure if she
doing.
Knows that what just happened, because she wasn't on the bridge,
mm-hmm.
You know?
She has to know, right?
She has to know this is not the clone.
Right.
It's not Doppelgard. And she comes in, and Picard is like, uh-oh, what happened here? And she kind of gives him like a flirtatious look.
Like side-eye kind of thing. Yeah.
And Picard is like, well, that's odd. All right, engage, let's go. And that's it.
That's the end of the episode.
Yep. Sorry, it was kind of short, but not much happened.
No, it was a lot of standing around wondering what's going on.
Yep.
Well, Patrick, this is the part of Fat Trek where we like to rate what we just saw.
Wonder what I'm going to say.
I hope it's a good one. If we love it, if we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, We Set to Kill. If we thought it was pretty good, comes up in the queue, give it a watch, We Set to Stun. And if it's horrible, avoid at all costs, We Live in the Holster. So, Patrick, what'd you think?
Like, I'm not going to say it has no, absolutely no redeeming qualities. You know, I did think it approached some good points, and then by the end, it totally contradicted itself. Like, the whole thing about we have to work together, we have to put aside our differences, recognize a common enemy, and collaborate, that appeals to me. I like that message, but then it was immediately done away with. We're like, by the way, also one of us is an imposter.
There's a spy, yeah. So maybe we shouldn't collaborate.
And then it's the classic first season kind of thing where they go way too much with the exposition and then realize that they ran out of time and they have to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a lot of cool acting with, you know, with Picard.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be a villain and a good guy. That's pretty interesting, but it just wasn't enough to you know, overcome a lot of the problems with this episode. So I got to say, leave it in the holster.
Whoa! Yeah. Rock bottom!
Yeah.
After so many set to kills
in
a row.
I know, we had a hot streak. But
they're probably like, what, like four in a row or so?
Four or five.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wasn't a fan of this one.
And I'll say this, because I agree with you. I'm going to leave in the holster too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Simply, well, two reasons. One, we will never remember this episode.
Yeah, it's a one-off.
Yeah, we won't. It will be 3 weeks from now, and we're going to totally forget. Maybe we'll remember the kiss or something. I don't know. There's nothing memorable about this episode.
Yeah.
I know English. Two, the bar has been set way too high for an episode like this.
Yep.
It just, it's like, whoa, we're going back in time. Back to season one, maybe early season two.
Yeah, that's what it
like,
felt
it's not
like.
Terrible. It wouldn't be a bad episode for season one, but it's a bad episode for what we've just been watching.
Yeah.
So, yeah, leaving the holster. No reason to check this
There's
one out.
A higher standard now.
Yeah.
For what I expect from the show.
Yeah, from all sorts of perspectives, from action to character development to overall story structure. All of those things have been done so much better. I just don't know why you need to watch this.
Yep.
Well, cool. This was a fast episode of Patrick.
Yeah.
I mean,
there wasn't a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
When they were in that prison cell, like, it felt a lot longer than what actually happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
They were just talking about why they may or may not have been captured. I don't know why we spent so much time on that.
Yeah.
We could have had a more satisfying end if we wouldn't have talked about the plot for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, anyway, anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Yeah. Again, I want to plug the Patreon.
Yeah, we got to put some new stuff in there. It's
we
June.
Will. Yeah, it is June already. As we said, we are going to be releasing special content for our patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Patrick, as you know it, will be free and we'll be releasing it every week. We did have a hiccup in the production schedule. Sorry about that. It's because both of us just got new jobs at the exact same time almost.
Yep. And you know how that goes.
It's
so hard to keep your head above water in those first couple of weeks.
But we have one in the hopper, and we should be back to regular production schedule. So sorry about that.
Yep.
But we will also be doing the original series.
Yes.
So look forward to a couple episodes of that this coming month. And it is patreon.com/PatTrek.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the pilot with you.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because it's the thing that kicked this all off.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, like, the historical context of it's really interesting because nobody thought sci-fi was going to be a good genre for television. They thought it was played out and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of redefined it. So the historical context of the original series is so fascinating to me. And I can't wait to talk about it with you on our Patreon page.
Looking forward to it.
You can also listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's a podcast where my friends and I go through an interactive dungeon crawl experience where the monsters, plot twists, magic items, and anything else you can think of are contributed by the listeners. It's a blast. We're going to hit our last recording session of the season in about a week. So if you want to submit something and see it in the current storyline, because all is going to change soon, submit it now. You can follow me on Twitter at PatLikesATweet because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.